Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. Time change. That's a good thing. No, we got, shakes things up a little bit. I enjoyed the praise and worship this morning and the connecting with God. That's really why we're here, is to connect with God and to connect with one another, because iron sharpens iron, and we need one another more than we really know. I noticed on the screen that Sandra has the, she has John 10:27 that says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And the word listen in the Greek actually means not to hear, but it means to hear and obey. It means to hear and follow. So my sheep hear my voice and listen and obey and follow me. And so today's message is, I'm going to give you the title, Hearing the Voice of God. Because I can't tell you how many people will tell me that they do not hear from God, that they don't feel like they're hearing from God. And the first thing that I say when someone says, and you probably know this, "I'm not hearing from God," I first ask, "Is God hearing from you?" And when I say, "Is God hearing from you?" I don't mean hearing from your complaint file. We all got a file of complaints and things that trouble us. But is God hearing from you praises on the daily? Is God hearing words of thanksgiving and worship? I'm not talking about hearing from you only in a crisis. I'm talking about, does God hear your voice? And, you know, God speaks. I want to say this before we really get into this. God speaks to those who are listening. The problem is not that God is not speaking. The problem is that we are not listening. Did you ever consider for any second in time why God gave you a voice and why God gave you ears? He didn't just give me ears so I could hear Pastor Ken or Frida or the songs. He gave me ears primarily so I can hear him. He gave me a voice not so that I can share my complaints with God and the world, but to praise him and to honor him. And so the people that don't hear from God are those who are not, God's not hearing from them, and they're not listening. And God spoke to this prophet Samuel when he was a child, and we're going to get into that a little bit, but why did God speak to Samuel when there was a pastor in the house? There was a pastor living in the house, just sleeping in the next room, and God did not speak to the pastor. But I'm going to give you a word of warning this morning after I share this, if you don't mind. I submit to you, Eli was there, but Eli had stopped listening to God a long, long time ago. That's why God didn't speak to the pastor. And there are pastors today who are not hearing from God because they stopped listening to God and obeying God a long, long time ago. And it's very dangerous. You need to, don't go there. He had stopped obeying God, listening to God, but God isn't giving us the silent treatment. How many of you have ever had someone who's mad at you or who doesn't really want a relationship and they just quit talking to you? They just don't want to talk to you anymore. God isn't doing that to us, but I submit to you that sometimes when things go wrong in our lives and when we're hurting or broken, we're just like, well, I'm just not going to talk to God for a while. If that's the way it is, if that's what's going to be going on here, why will I talk to God? And we won't say that. We're not brave enough to say that, but we will think that in our heart. And how many of you know that God heard Sarah in her heart, said, "You did laugh. Yes, you did." And, you know, we always say that we want to hear from God. I'd love to hear the audible voice of God, but I also submit to you that God would love to hear your audible voice too. He'd love to hear from you. He'd love to hear. You'd like to hear God say, "Blessed are you, O daughter, O son. You are wonderful and you are doing my will." But God would like to hear that too. He would like to hear from you and I. And the answer to your question about communion is it is arriving. Yes. He was asking, yes. We have the maiden of the Lord bringing our communion here. Thank you, Grace. But God wants to hear from us. But I want to tell you about something. I want to read a verse. And I know I'm taking a little bit extra time. He does it all the time. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. It will not be a famine of bread, nor for a thirst of water, but it will be of hearing the words of God. I want to tell you that our sin and our disobedience provokes God to withhold his word from us. And I've been studying this over the past few days, and God had me study something very, very interesting, and I want to give it to you as a strong, strong warning to the church. Judges 16:20, in talking about Samson, said this: the Philistines are on you, Samson. And Samson woke up, which I have a message in 2 weeks on wake up. And he woke up out of his slumber and his sleep, and he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do just what I did before. I will shake myself off. And he knew not that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, had departed from him. Wow. I'm just going to do it like I always did. And he knew not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. If you think that's sobering, let's go to another scripture. To 1 Samuel 16:14, this is talking about Saul. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit now tormented him. I want to tell you about something as a warning. I never really realized this until I really got into this. We always say, oh, God's always with me. God's always with me. I submit to you that if you're not with God, God is not always with you. I submit to you that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. We see here that the Holy Spirit departed from Saul. We see here that the Holy Spirit departed from Samson. And there are others in the Word. And here's what King David said: take not your Holy Spirit from me. Why did he say that? Because he knew that there could come a time when the Holy Spirit would depart from him too. And we need that same lesson. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. But it's going to take us listening to God. If you quit listening to someone long enough, they're going to quit talking. They're going to quit speaking because they know that you don't want to hear from them. So not only can you reject God and you depart from God, I'm telling you that God can depart from you. And that's a message that is not preached in churches today, that we need to take this to heart. The Holy Spirit could decide, you're not listening, you don't want me. I've talked and I've talked and I've talked and you've walked away. I'm just going to leave you as you are.
So that has to do with when we draw close to God, he draws close to us. And I think of the 23rd Psalm, that the protection comes from walking with the shepherd. But when we walk away from the shepherd, how can we blame the shepherd? We're too far away for him to be able to reach us. And I do think that's a sobering scripture, that the Spirit had departed, but he was arrogant and prideful, and he thought that couldn't happen to him. I remember the story. This man was in an argument with his wife. They were at a gas station, and they were fighting. And the wife said, well, I'll ride in the back seat then. The man said, you just do that. And so he got in the driver's seat and took off, and they started giving each other the silent treatment. 15 minutes went by. She hadn't said a word. And he said, she ain't saying nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. A whole hour goes by, and he's finally the tension, he just can't. You could cut it in the air. There was so much tension in the car with her not saying nothing, him not saying nothing. Yep. Finally, he turns around and says, I've had enough of, there's no one in the back seat. He had left her at the gas station, but because he was giving her the silent treatment, he hadn't even paid attention. But spiritually, you know, if we leave God off and we think we're giving him the silent treatment, yep, but we don't realize, like Samson, that we've separated. And why would God separate from yourself? Because he's, as Pastor Barlin once said, God is not holy. He is holy, holy, holy. And there's places that you might go that the Holy Spirit says, I'm sorry, I can't go with you to that place. Right. By choice, darkness can't intersect with lightness without something giving. So why did God talk to Samuel? He chose Samuel. First of all, Samuel was a worshiper. Now, I don't want that to be a throwaway. You go, yeah, Samuel was a worshiper. Let me tell you something. When we come to church, Only you can worship God for you. And Pam, there is a temptation when we pray to say, God, it's me and here's what I need. That's why when they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy. He began with worship. So you may have a broken heart and need things. You can get to that. But always start at the necessary part. God, I worship you. Second thing is Samuel was obedient. The third thing, he had the heart of a child. Jesus said you have to come to the kingdom like a heart of a child. You said the priest wasn't listening, right? The father wasn't listening. But what was happening there is when we become adults, we start worrying about how am I going to pay this and how am I going to pay that and what am I going to do about this? And we start worrying about things where children, they don't worry about things. They don't worry about where the food's coming from next. We need to have the faith of a child that our Heavenly Father is in control. Another reason is that Samuel had a pure thought, a pure heart. He didn't have an impure heart. And finally, he was listening. He was absolutely listening. You were talking about spirits, that Saul had an evil spirit. You know, there's lots of things that we may not call evil spirits, but the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And think of what fear will do. It'll paralyze you. Yeah. It'll keep you from worshiping. It'll keep you from speaking words of faith. It'll take joy out of your life. And so the God is the God of exchange. We come to the cross and we take our filthy rags and God gives us a coat of glory. We bring our sorrow and he gives us joy. We bring our tears and he gives us laughter. So it is really an exchange. I believe with all my heart, Pam, that God is speaking, though. That I don't believe that God has stopped speaking, but I believe that we can drown God out. I shared a few months ago a true story that I was downstairs. I was listening to TV, and when I finally shut the TV off, I heard scriptures reading. So they were very silent. So I had some scriptures coming through some headphones, and I could hear the word of God. But do you know that for the hour that scripture had been going, I didn't hear a word of it because the TV had drowned out the voice of God. And I thought that was interesting. It was there all the time. So I could have said, why isn't God speaking to me? And it's like, come on. You know, you've got two things that are, you've got things that are too loud. So God speaks to us through other people. Come on now. God's going to use other people. God's going to use the Holy Spirit. God's going to use the Word of God through these messages. Hopefully God is speaking to you. It may not even be what I'm saying, but God might be saying something completely different to you. Where we gather and worship, that's where the Spirit of God is. And so God is in this place where two or three are gathered. So the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you all through the service, through the worship service, through the praise that we had. I believe that God speaks to us through nature if we allow it, if we take the time to look at the beauty of creation all around us. I believe that God speaks to us through a small, still voice. And I think the only way to hear from God is to be still and know that I'm God. So often, I've just developed a habit of saying, I'm going to shut everything out of my mind, all worry, all concern. I'm going to block everything out, and I'm going to devote the next few minutes to completely listening to God, to listen, to get as quiet as I can before God. You know, many people will say, oh, if I could just hear the audible voice of God, then that would change everything. No, it wouldn't. There were people that saw Jesus face to face and heard him, and they even saw the miracles, and they still turned away. To anyone today that would say that you have trouble hearing God's voice, I want to quote the scripture that Pam already quoted. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So that's a promise from God. And if you are in the Word at all, Tony, thank you for sharing that today. I always appreciate Tony sharing about being in the Word. Because the title of the message is hearing from God. But do you know if you are hearing, that will lead to healing? Yeah. You hear the Word, it leads to healing. The Word of God that you read is 100% God speaking to you. And you can absolutely put your name on any scripture, on any situation. You can be the woman at the well. And before I turn this to Pam, I've shared this before too, but I find this to be so practical. I want something that works, Pam, that it actually works.
Yes, I do too.
And first of all, if you ask God to speak to you, he's going to. The promise is already there, right? My sheep hear my voice. So God's speaking through the word. He's speaking through worship. I can't tell you in the last few years, this is just, I carry this with me, that the times that I have missed God, when I've said something I shouldn't have, when I didn't say something I should have said, when I've done something I shouldn't have, or not done something that I should have, I can't tell you the number of times that I have said to myself, I knew that. I knew it, and I did it. I said that, and before I said it, I heard something in my mind, something in my heart, not loud. Don't do that. That's for the smallest of reasons. That could hurt somebody. That's the Holy Spirit. But all the times, Frida, that I catch myself saying, I knew that. I knew God told me that and I missed it. For all those times that I miss it, just as often I'm getting it right now. Yeah. I am learning that there is a reason. Like I was sharing with my wife, when you're going home and the GPS sends you a whole different way, trust the GPS, right? Because you're going to go, why does it not have me go the expressway? I know better than this. But there's this thing saying, here's an alternate route. And then you get on the expressway and it says 2 hours to go home. And you go, what? And all you see is red. And you go, what? And then you go, I knew that. It tried to tell me to take the side streets and I thought I knew better. Church, this is important. I am definitely handing this to him. But this is such a practical thing. God will lead you to that still small voice. And boy, if we learn to listen to God, does it save us from making minor and major mistakes.
It really is true, and it's very practical because God's speaking to us even through the daily circumstances of our life. And it's in a very subtle way because the Holy Spirit is gentle and tender. But there are times when he's literally shouting. And we're still not listening. I appreciated so much. Emmy shared last Sunday night, and every one of you should have been here. Or maybe it was two Sundays. I don't remember. But she shared her testimony of how recently she was offered or given or something happened where she got a promotion on her job. And as she, you know, it was lucrative. It's just something you would want. And she got it. But very, very, very quickly she discovered this is not what God wants. I may be leaving some children behind. She works with children, with rescuing children for DCFS or, you know, out of danger. And she realized it. But instead of just saying, well, whatever, whatever, I got the promotion, I'm going to take it and it's good. And that she knew this just isn't me. This isn't God. She fixed it. She got it right. She got it right. Why? Because she was listening. My sheep know my voice. I know them. They know me. You know, I heard a very cool, I took my watch off to remind me to tell you this. There was a story about a bunch of people. They were in a church, and someone lost a very, very valuable watch. And they looked in all the rooms. They kept looking. They finally gave up looking for this very valuable watch and assumed, well, it's stolen, something happened. And a little boy said, nobody come in. Can I go in one last time? And he walked out with the watch. And he goes, I got it. And they all ask him, how did you get it? And he said, I went in the building and I got real quiet. And I just sat and I heard it ticking. I heard the ticking. You got quiet to get in the presence of the Lord. What that said to me is if I get in the presence of the Lord and I just sit here and I'm like, I'm quiet. You will hear from God. You will hear from God. That gentle little voice. I'll tell you a couple of stories. One is I will not forget about this young girl that she was dating a young man. And this young man would get very angry very quickly. He would jerk her arm from time to time, get over here. very controlling. You're going to tell me where you're going, what you're doing at all times, because we're exclusive now. And most girls stay in a relationship like this. I'll forgive him, which she did several times. But her parents warned her about him, said, this is going to get worse. This is going to get a lot worse. And she decided to pray about it. All her friends said it was bad. She broke up with him. Fast forward a few years, she met a mutual friend, and the friend told her that the old boyfriend that she had actually found someone and got married. Unfortunately, he's now in prison for desperately abusing this girlfriend. But the thing is, she said, I was once the girlfriend. That would have been me. But here's the thing. Let me talk to you about how to hear from God some other ways, some practical ways. Another way we hear from God is through people that carry the Holy Spirit inside them. And spiritual leadership. The Bible says, obey them who have rule over you, for they watch for your souls. They care about you. They're not in it for themselves. This is not the most fun thing we've ever done in our lives. Ken, you want to really have fun? Let's pastor a church. You want to know how fun is done? Grab a whole bunch of people. We'll all get along. We'll all live happily ever after. It's going to be fun. Said no pastor ever. But let me tell you, if it's God, it's God. But we hear from God. They will tell you the truth. They will tell you the truth. People who've kind of left my life, it was for one reason. I was telling my mom the other night. I told them the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. Let me tell you something about truth also. This is just a side note, and this is all for free. If you tell people the truth and they don't want to hear the truth, keep this in your heart. There are also people who don't tell the truth. I want you to hear that one more time. If people don't want to hear the truth, there are people who also cannot tell the truth. So keep that in mind. But let's get back to this. If we submit to biblical authority, it is for our protection. Let me tell you, pastors, police officers, parents, you need to have your ears open when they are speaking, because they're not doing it just to hear themselves talk. They're doing it for your own good so they can protect you and you will be safe in life. I'm going to tell you about a man I heard the other day that I've sent this to several of my friends. This man was so powerful, and he said this under the anointing. He was talking to a men's conference, and he said, I'm going to talk about wives now and their role in the marriage. And so it caused me to listen up because I'm married. So what's my role? I need to know. You know, I don't want, you know, get on Dave's role. I'll be my role. And so here's what the man said. And like I said, he was powerful. He went all the way back to Genesis, and he said, God created the woman for Adam to be a helper. The root word help represents the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that women have an intuition sometimes? You call it an intuition. When it's used properly, it's the Holy Spirit. And he was talking to men, and he said something I will never forget. And he said it applied to children and parents too, but he was talking to men and women. He said, I submit to you. He was from Africa. He said, I submit to you that there are men who are not alive today because they did not listen to their wife. I was like, say what? He said, she represents the Holy Spirit to you. We cover one another. We honor and submit and respect our husbands. They cover us. I'm not safe. I'm not safe going out into bad places without him. I'm not safe without you guys in my life. You are not safe without us in your life. And the number one reason that I recently completely quit counseling, do you know why? Because people don't want to hear the truth and they don't want to listen. They will hear you, but they will not listen to you. You might as well do what the Holy Spirit does. Just, I'm backing off. Nope, it's not going to happen, is it? And we need, this is same thing happens with us, though, and the Lord. He is speaking, but we're not listening. And the Holy Spirit will depart from us. This is why children need to listen to their parents. I don't really care how old you are. You need to listen to the Lord. You need to listen to your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. They have some time in their life. God's given them an authority not to abuse you,
but to protect you. When I tell my kids, you need to be in the house of the Lord, you need to tithe, you need to forgive that person, I'm telling you, you need to forgive them, they should listen to that. Because I've had experience with forgiveness. I've had experience with not coming into the house of the Lord. And guess what happens when I don't come into the house of the Lord? That whole week is just about blown. Do you know if you don't do what God says that you're the one that suffers? So we need to hear from, it's a practical message. And let me say one last thing, and I'm going to give this to Ken. Why is it that I can hear so clearly from Pastor Ken? Anybody know? Because I'm close to him. He's sitting right next to me. I can hear from him better than I can hear from Gio back there. Because Gio's farther. We're at a distance right now. Hey, Gio, I can hear. But I can. You. The closer you draw to God, the more clearly you're going to hear the ticking and you're going to hear his still small voice.
So we definitely all need counsel, especially for major decisions. It's just you don't want to follow the world's counsel. How many people have left jobs because they found someone said, well, we'll move you down to Tennessee. It'll be $2 an hour more. You're like, it's more money going to Tennessee, not even thinking that that could be the biggest trap in the world. Satan is always trying to lead you the wrong way. That's why you need the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants to trap you. He wants to trap you sexually. He wants to trap you financially. He wants to trap you by bad decisions, bringing you places you shouldn't go. You know how you're in a place that you shouldn't be? Because the Holy Spirit's saying, you don't belong here. Uh-huh. You ever been somewhere you go, I don't feel comfortable here? Yeah. It's because you don't belong there. You're trying to, it's like the home that I lived in as a child, I could go, well, I guess I'm going home today. If I showed up at that house and knocked on the door and said, I'm home, what do you mean you're home? Who are you? Go away. You know, so the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to where we are today and never going to take us back into the traps of yesterday. You know, if I could say one thing to Satan after everything he's thrown at me all my life, if he just wants to know what I think of him, I just want to ask him, is that all you have? Is that the best that you can do? Because I'm standing on this rock. I'm going to stand on this rock all the days of my life. Pray, church, pray about everything. You know, even little things have big consequences. Even a little stone in your shoe can have big consequences. Pray about everything and you'll avoid those traps. What a great story. Just dating the wrong person can just lead you into the worst trap at all. And let me tell you something about human nature. That selfish, sinful nature that's part of your old man is not to be trusted, not to be entertained. Think about things that you were obsessed with as a child. Think about that thing that you had to have, that you just dreamed about and you thought, I got to have that, I got to have that, I got to have that. Where is it now? Why was it that important to you? Think about that person that you just had to have, that you were willing to kick down the world for, and you were. Think of that obsession in your mind. Was that right? Were you right? If you could talk to 12-year-old you, what would you say to 12-year-old you? So that's the old mind. But Jesus, we renew our mind through the washing of the water and through the Word of God. And so the Bible says that Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. He's Jesus. Why would he need to be led of the Holy Spirit? If Jesus, who was sinless, was led of the Holy Spirit, how much more does Alan need to be led of the Holy Spirit? How much more does Frida need to be led by the Holy Spirit? Every one of you, you need that leading of the Holy Spirit in every area of your life. Now think about this. Out of sight, out of mind. Just like the Spirit had departed and he didn't know it. When you interact with the world tomorrow, as you go and to the grocery store, as you go to get food somewhere, as you're working with people, as you're talking with people, do you realize there's two ways to do this? One way is to be so busy and just kind of get away from God and approach everything from a selfish standpoint. Get out of my way. Hurry up. I wish this person would hurry up. I can't believe that person is so mean. Where you're just approaching it from a human standpoint. You're judging everything from a human standpoint. So you see people that are mean and you just, you know, they just need a flat tire. And what is the matter with them? And why are they so awful? And approaching everything from the standpoint of, this person in line ahead of me is in my way. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get to me. But what if, as a thought experiment, and I'm really going to challenge you on this because this is a big challenge. Peter says to have the mind of Christ. What if you took a small time? Now, of course, it'd be great if we could do this 24 hours a day. But if you said, as I go into the grocery store now, I'm going to completely have the mind of Christ. I'm going to try to approach everything and see everything through God's eyes. Let me tell you why that's important. I was praying about God. I was praying to God. What do I need to improve on? What things do I need to work on? And I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to try to put myself in other people's shoes. Especially people that I would normally just be angry at. When someone is just completely rude, I want to ask myself, what's going on in that person's life? No one ever asks that. No one ever cares what's happening in prison. If you have a story that says, do you know there's no air conditioning in these prison, and you know they're eating moldy food, you know that 99% of people would go, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's not having empathy and sympathy and saying to win people. And just this week, Pam, I had the smallest interaction with someone that I gave them a compliment. And they were like, oh, you have no idea how much I need it. And I just realized everyone needs that encouragement. And you and I have been given a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile God to man. So be at constant voice of encouragement. And I also want to encourage you to try to see things through other people's eyes. You realize that, I'll just take 60 seconds and I'll pass this. But when it comes to empathy, when someone has a completely different point of view than you have, do you know if you lived where they lived and you saw what they saw and you listened to what they listened to, I bet you would have that same point of view also. So I have this friend in Texas, and he was just going on and on and on. He just wouldn't shut up about these political issues. And I just thought, why is this so important? And I realized that all the talk shows on the radios where he lives, that's all they talk about is 24 hours a day. And I thought, if I heard that same news story 24 hours a day, I might have that opinion also. And they actually have done experiments where they had people that were only watching this one sort of news. Maybe they were only watching liberal news or conservative news. And they had them switch it up. And they saw things they never saw before. But what I'm saying is people seem far from God and they're just hateful to God. I'm telling you, God's working on their life. And it sometimes takes us having empathy for that, for people's situation. I want to have empathy and sympathy and understand what people are walking through, not approach it from a selfish standpoint.
That's interesting. I heard something just yesterday in talking about other people that said, never ask yourself the question, what did they do? Ask yourself the question, why did they do it? Don't ask what did they do. You know what they did. Ask them, why did they do that? And, you know, I think that to hear from God, as we're talking about hearing from God, something that I want to bring out is something that people also don't talk about that the Holy Spirit really put on my heart. It is so important that we hear from God. And you may think, oh, a message on hearing from God. Maybe I will, maybe I won't hear from God. No, you should tell God, I want to hear from you. I'm willing to listen to you. I'm willing also to obey you. And here's why. I'm going to give you the whole message. Here's why you need to hear from God. Because there's someone else that is speaking out there. And they want to speak in your life. And his name is called Satan, the father of all lies. And so if you're not listening to God, you are listening to someone. But here's what happens. And let me tell you what the difference is and how you'll know the difference. People say, how am I going to know if it's God? And how am I know if it's the devil? Let me help you out. The devil will speak to your mind. He will speak to you and you'll have a thought in your mind.
That's the devil speaking to you. Aha, this is bad. This is what you should do this. You should do that. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in your gut, in your heart. You'll literally feel it in your stomach. Right, Pastor Ken? When you have that check in your spirit, you will feel it down here like, oh, man, I feel an unsettled feeling about this. That is the Holy Spirit. I feel like I shouldn't do this. And anything that ever comes to your mind from the enemy will be against, watch this, get this down. Anything the enemy speaks to your mind will be against the word of God. Anything the Holy Spirit speaks in your gut is like, don't do that because that's against the word of God. Or do this because this is my will and my word. That's how you can tell the difference is in who is speaking to you. But I want to tell you that the closer we are to God, the more we will clearly hear his voice. It'll be clearer. Now, you know, I use the example of Gio. If he was to say something right now, I might could strain and I might could hear it, but I might get it wrong too because he's quite a distance from me. But if Pastor Ken says something even quietly in that gentle voice like, Pam, is our time? Let me tell you, I can hear it because we're very, very close. I can hear that soft voice coming my way and respond to that. But here's what John 15:15-17 said. From this time forward, henceforth, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. For the servant doesn't know what his Lord does, but I call you friends. And for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. God will tell you things that he does not tell other people. This is the truth. He will speak to you about secret things. Once again, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be doing an online, real short online class. Again, the secrets that we keep, when to tell, what to tell, who to tell. But a friend is closer than a servant. I want to share it with you like this. There are things that I'm going to use Nikki, my hairstylist. Nikki and I have gotten to be friends. She knows things about me that you probably don't know. Because just in we spend lots and lots of time together. And we've gotten to know each other and we have a relationship. And it just comes up in topics and she'll ask me questions and I'll ask her questions. Things that the more time you spend with someone. But Abraham, who did he spend time with? He spent time with God. And God called him a friend of God. And I have always said this, that it was so amazing because people say, I want to be a friend of God. It's amazing. And I can say, I am a friend of God. God has called me friend. And that's true. But I can say, I want to be a friend of God. But boy, is it something when God says, she's a friend of mine. She's a friend of mine. I can say I'm a friend of Frida's all day long. But until Frida says that I'm a friend of hers, it may not be true. It may be true or not true. And so the closer we need to spend time, but I want to talk to you really, really quick about Samuel because we started out talking about Samuel in the temple and how Samuel heard from God as a young boy. Here's the situation. Samuel was in the temple and it was night. And he honored God and he loved God and he loved being in a temple and his parents sent him to the temple. They dedicated him and he lived in the house of God. I used to think as a kid we practically lived here because we had to come all the time. But here's the thing. What the Bible tells us is he was sleeping near the ark of God. And that's important. Let me share something with you. 1 Samuel 3:3. And when the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God, which represents the presence of God, and Samuel laid down to sleep. He was sleeping in the presence of God. When we go to sleep in the presence of God, just laying right there in the presence of God. Now, let me tell you what most theologians believe. Most theologians believe that the voice of God came right from the ark. I love that. It came right from the presence of God, right from the ark. That's what most theologians believe. I believe that same thing because that's where the presence of the Lord was. This is the key to hearing from God, to be in the presence of the Lord. When you're in the presence, you know, I can tell you so many things. I could tell you during the time of COVID, I remember being here. And I remember, and you'll probably remember this, I've told it before, and I was sitting right over here on a Sunday night, and Pastor Gil was preaching, and we just had heard about COVID. And as I was sitting there listening to him in the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and he said, I want you to have a special service. I want you and Pastor Ken to get the people here on Tuesday night, and that's what we did. We got here on Tuesday night, and he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, this is a plague. This is a plague that's coming. It's from the enemy, this COVID thing. And it's going to get worse. And he said, what I want you to do is have everyone bring the communion that we're going to do today. Bring Holy Communion and have all of God's people. And you remember the day that we gather here. And we weren't going to get to meet again for a very long time in this house. But the Holy Spirit said, just like in Egypt, I want you to apply the blood. And when you apply the blood, I promise you that these people of this house will be safe and no one will die in this house. And when we applied the blood that night, how many people, tell me again how many people we lost to COVID from this congregation. Tell me again. None, because God keeps his word, because I heard him in the presence of the Lord and he kept his word. You know, there was for 2 seconds, I thought, I can't tell the people that. People are already dying from COVID. I can't promise these people that they're all going to be safe if they drink this and apply the blood. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, you can, because I said it. Because I said it. You can say anything that I say, that you know that I say. And we did not lose one person. You can hear from God if you're listening.
There really are traps everywhere. And a lot of the things that we work ourselves into were so easily avoided, and we definitely knew it. I want to encourage you, if you ever find yourself in a trap, whether it's a relationship or a job or just something you've got caught into, you need to get out of that immediately. You don't need to wait for it to work itself out. You can stay in a trap for literally years, and the day that you pull the plug on that will be the day of victory. So sometimes if you know that you're somewhere you don't want to be, you need to get out of that situation as quickly as you can. Another way that you know the Holy Spirit is leading you is that the Holy Spirit will never lead you into fear. So if you're like, oh, I have all this fear in my life, that the Holy Spirit will always lead you to victory. When the Holy Spirit leads you, it will always be a way out of something, a way into victory. Saying no, the Holy Spirit will prompt you to say no to things, to the traps. The word no, say, well, that sounds so negative to say no to everything. Do this thought experiment. What if I said for the next 40, and don't actually do this, it would ruin your life. If I said for the next 48 hours, I want you to say yes to anything that anyone asks you, no matter what it is, where it is. So the first email you opened, right, that said, you know, you need to call the IRS, you know, the first email you opened that said you've just won $500,000, that's going to cost you a lot. You know, the things that you're going to enroll in, you want to enroll in this, you want to buy this, you want to add this onto your package, you want to add that onto you. If you said yes to everything, you'd be broke in 48 hours. You've learned to say no to most things. And here's what I've learned. Saying no to one thing is actually saying yes to something else. I'm not going to do that because I'm going to instead do this, right? So if someone called you today and said, let's go bowling instead of go to church, you said no to bowling, but that's because you were saying yes to God and you were saying yes to church. Another way that you know something is God, and this could be a trap too. If you are, if you follow a prophet of God, and that prophet, who is wonderful, he is so wonderful. Have you heard him? If 3/4 of the things that he says come to pass, and 1/4 of the things he says doesn't come to pass, you are following a false prophet, right? See, but he's so good. Yep, Satan's an angel of light, you know. He's amazing. He's not horrible and awful. You got to tempt someone that's with something that's desirable, right? A trap. It looks good. A trap is that bowl of candy that my aunt put out in her bathroom. I'm like, who puts candy in the bathroom? This is awesome. And it was soap. It looks good until you go, well, I just been trapped. This morning, we're going to be taking communion, and, you know, I was here talking to people about how expensive medication is, and everyone's heard of medication that's like $5,000 a pill and stuff like that. This is the most expensive medication on the planet, and it's free, but it's the blood of Jesus, because it's the rarest, it's the most precious, it's also the most powerful. when you take the word, you know, like if you take vitamins, I like multi-purpose vitamins. It contains A, B, C, D, E, F, contains everything. And there needs to be, we need to print labels on these communion cups that list its ingredients. This is a multi, it contains love, it contains patience, it contains peace, it contains the blood of Jesus. It cures everything. See the book of medicine for what it cures. Cures selfishness, cures hopelessness, it cures loneliness, it cures lack. But there also needs to be a warning on there. You know, medication always has side effects. So it needs to be warning. May cause spontaneous praise. This medication is addictive. Yeah. If you start on it, you may be addicted to it. You can't live without it. Take it every day. And you know what? A double dose of it is okay. Imagine that imagine that there's two lines in heaven. Well, first of all, let me say about the Holy of Holies, because Pam wrote that in the notes, that only once a year could the high priest go in. And we know the story of people that reached out and touched the ark when they weren't supposed to. They died by the hand of God. Yeah. Right? They tried to study the ark. Okay, they died by the hand of God. And you could only go in once a year if you were the high priest and you had to apply the blood, and then you had to kneel, and you had to go into the Holy of Holies. And if someone had broken that protocol, God would have, they would have immediately been taken out. They would have just immediately died. But I always like to think of the fact that when Jesus died, that the Holy of Holies was open. That was the most exclusive room on earth, was the Holy of Holies. But in heaven, in all of the universe, the most exclusive place is the Holy of Holies. It's the presence of God. And we are told to come boldly. Imagine that you had a time machine and we traveled back and no one, you know, there's the Holy of Holies and everyone's like, stay back, stay back. And you could just go in there. Right, we're going to pick on Janice this morning. So we got a time machine, we go back, and the high priest is saying, everyone, you know, everyone knows the rules, you stay back. And Janice says, I'm going in. Yep. And the priest would say, you would instantly die. Nope. And then she would have to explain, I'm from the future. I'm a new creation. You're a who what? I'm a new creation. I've been born again. You've been what? Born again. My sins have been forgiven. You do these sacrifices all the time. But Jesus went, we can go in. Yes. The most exclusive. Don't, you know, you see the lifestyles of the filthy rich. Don't ever be jealous and say, I wish I had a gold toilet. I'd be ashamed if I had a gold toilet. Yep. Let me tell you something. The most exclusive room in the universe that no one can go into except they have been born again, you have been invited to that. Tony, you back there somewhere? You know, when you were sharing again, which he's shared 100 times, and I want to hear it 100 more times, he shares every once in a while how he's always in the Word. He's always in the Word. And then he shared that he needs healing for his life. So this is for Tony, and it's for all the church. When you are in the Word, he sent his Word and healed them. So while we're in the Word, while we take this communion, this medicine is going to start working in your body. And you know where that medicine's going to go? Everywhere that oxygen goes. It's going to go to your toes. It's going to go to your back. It's going to go to your ears. It's going to go to your mind. There is no part that the blood of Jesus can't reach. Love you all so much.
We're gonna transition. I can't imagine those high priests in there. Let's go ahead and stand, and our people who are going to receive communion, and Alan's going to come. I can't imagine. If you think, you know, a lot of pastors, I'm on a pastor site, and we think that, you know, there's some, you know, it's hard at times, right? But can you imagine being a high priest, a pastor in those days? Well, you're going to church, and you may come home, and you may not, because you might not have it, got it right. Thank God for the cross and the blood of Jesus, and that's why we're here today. But I want to encourage you all to get to a place like that boy did, into a quiet place, and just listen. Don't talk to God. You know, I think sometimes God just wants to say,
shut up for a minute. Be quiet. Be quiet. Just stop. And just get before his presence and you will hear him. You will connect with God. You know why? Not because you're looking to connect. He's looking to connect with you. So we're going to worship, and Alan, you can come.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.